Psalm 101, and I'm going to give you a little bit of a pre-sermon. I will make you fishers of men. You know, several of the disciples, as you know, if you've read the Bible, or maybe the Bible is new to you. By the way, if you don't have a Bible, we want you to have one. We actually have English Bibles, Spanish Bibles, and Farsi Bibles back there. Sorry, we don't have any more languages than that. We're working on that, right? And you know what I actually got today? I got a box today from someone of 8 Farsi Bibles, 8 more Farsi Bibles. Michael Gurmey sent them to us, and they're from Beams. So Beams actually does Farsi Bibles as well, and I have those available. I didn't bring them in here, but I have them, and I'm thankful for that, and praise the Lord for his timing. But several of the disciples before they were saved, and before they were brought into the ministry, they were professional men in the sense of they were professional fishermen. That's what they did for a living. They didn't just have a pole and go out and throw it in the Fraser River and try to catch a big old salmon every once in a while whenever the salmon would run. Not that kind of fisherman. I'm talking about the ones who are over in Steveston that come in with their nets. You've been over there and seen them come in? If you've never been over to Steveston and seen them come in with their nets, you need to, because it's pretty neat. That's exactly what was happening in the Bible times. Many of the men of God that God would call to ministry, they were fishermen. And they could relate to that. They could relate to fishing for fish. And that's why Jesus said, if you follow me, I will make you to become fishers of men. You know what? That doesn't matter if it's in the Bible days or 2020. If we follow Jesus, there is no way we won't be, in a sense, thinking and praying for people to come to Christ. We'll pray for our missionaries. We'll support our missionaries. We'll invite someone to church. Whatever we can do, we will be fishing for men. It's not fishing in the sense literally. I think most of you know that, but some are new to the Bible that are here, and I'm glad you're here. We're talking about getting the gospel out. We're talking about getting the message of Jesus Christ around the world. And when we follow Jesus, and when we dedicate our lives to Jesus, we will love what Jesus loves. You know who Jesus loves? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. That's you and that's me, by the way, because we're all children here today. And for God so loved the world. I mean, we've got several different ethnic groups in here tonight. For God so loved the world. What a beautiful thing it is to know that God loves us. Amen? And when we love God, we will love what He loves. And God loves people. Every kind, every language, every kindred, every tribe, every tongue, every nation. God loves them all. And He wants them all to be saved. You know, He's not willing that anyone would die without His Son, Jesus Christ. And so that's kind of that song. I will make you fishers of men. Did you find Psalm 101 yet? Did I give you a chance to find it? All right, Psalm 101. I really have one theme tonight. We're going to work our way to Ephesians here, though, in just a few minutes. Psalm 101 in verse number 2. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Think about that verse just for a minute. Let's just meditate on it for a minute. And we're emphasizing the last statement of the psalmist, which we believe to be David. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Heavenly Father, bless now this time of teaching and preaching from your word. And I need you every time that we open the word of God, and that's definitely the case tonight. I pray that you would empty me of myself and fill me with your spirit. And I pray that those who are listening here in person and those who are joining us on the live stream would do the same. That we would be spirit-controlled listeners as well. And I pray that you would help us to set aside the cares of this world, the cares of the week ahead, the cares of the burdens that we are trying to care for, which we shouldn't be. We should be giving them to you. And tonight, that we would be encouraged in the things of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I think of that word walk. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart, with a mature heart, with a dedicated heart. And I think about the word walk. It means to make one's way. It means to make due use of opportunity. It means to progress. To progress. And notice the psalmist says, I will walk within my house. Now think about, literally, let's think about walking in our house tonight. Normally, when we get into our house, we get into our comfort zone, don't we? We get into our area of comfort. And it ought to be that way. There's nothing wrong with that. But we get into our house, and many times we act a different way in our house than when we are in public. In fact, we could even say it like this. We act one way, and I'm not being critical of it. I'm just stating the obvious. I think you have to agree with this. I'm not expecting you to always agree, but you have to agree in this case that when we are in public, we act different than we're at home. We kick our shoes off at home. We don't kick our shoes off in public. Please keep your shoes on, okay? It's just a saying, right? Because you're comfortable when your shoes are off. What I'm saying is that the psalmist here says that typically we would walk in a perfect way around everybody else. Because why? Because most of us have at least a little bit of we care what people think about us. I think it's more of a lot, if we were honest. But when we're home, many times, not necessarily a good thing, but when we're home many times, we walk a different way and we act a different way. It's not talking literally about how we walk around the house and how we walk around in church. It's how we conduct ourselves. It's how we treat our family members or treat our strangers or so forth and so on. So it's really interesting here how the goal of the psalmist and the challenge of the psalmist here is that at the beginning of the verse, he says, I will behave myself wisely. You know, sometimes we say things before we really think about it. I say things before I think about it. You say things before you think about it. And most of the time, where does that happen? It happens around those who we are most comfortable with. Because we feel a sense of freedom to be able to just say whatever. And sometimes that gets us in trouble. Because we might say something so quickly and not even realize the tone or realize what we're saying. And so the psalmist here says, I want to make sure that my behavior is characterized by wisdom. Oh, do we not need more wisdom in our homes? Do we not need more wisdom in our daily walk? That's really what the lesson is about tonight, our walk. And he says, I want to walk within my house with a perfect heart. Go with me to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. This is the introduction. Ephesians will be the majority, but let's look at a couple of verses. Psalm 84, please. Psalm 84, verse number 11. The Bible says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that what? Walk uprightly. Walk uprightly. God gives us, I've written this down, God gives me, God gives you, God gives us the means to walk along his paths, but we must choose to walk uprightly. God gives us everything. Think about it as a Christian. What do you have and what do I have? Now, I know you've been sitting on your couch or your nice chair or whatever, and the interaction with the television, maybe you would say things when I would say things and you would talk to the TV, but the TV just kept going, you know. But let's get back into the swing of things of meeting in person. Think about it. What has God given you as a Christian? What has God given you? There's more than one thing. What has God given us to help us to walk uprightly? The Holy Spirit of God. Perfect, all right? So when you got saved, when you realized that you were a sinner, when you realized that sin has a penalty, the penalty of sin is death and hell, and you by faith received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and ask Him to take your sin away, which He is the only one qualified to do that because of the death, burial, and the resurrection, immediately when you made that decision from the mind down to the heart, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation, right away God gave us the Holy Spirit. whether that was a week ago or 20 years ago or 25 years ago or 45 years ago or 4 months ago. It doesn't matter. The moment that you received Christ as Savior, you were given the Holy Spirit of God, and that Spirit is with you today. God's Spirit helps you and helps me to walk uprightly. What else has God given us to help us to walk uprightly? His Word, right here. If you have your Bible, hold up your Bible, the blessed old Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. God's given us His Spirit. By the way, who wrote the Bible? Man? No, man didn't write the Bible. God, specifically, God's Spirit. God's Spirit. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So God gives us the Holy Spirit, but then God gives us the book that the Holy Spirit wrote to help us to walk uprightly. I don't understand. I don't understand everything about the Bible. I don't either. I'm still learning. I am 47 years of age. I was in the womb and in church. When I was in my mother's womb, I was in church. What I'm saying is, I've heard the Bible for 47 plus years, and I still don't understand it all. I'm still learning. And so should you be learning, and so should we all be learning to walk uprightly. God hasn't said, okay, you're saved, now figure it out. No. God's given us His Spirit. God's given us His Word. What's something else that God's given us? The church. Right. He's given us the church. His Spirit, His Word, His church, our fellow believers, brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ. I mean, God has given us everything that we need. So then why don't we walk uprightly? See, it's not God's fault. It's not God's fault that I don't walk uprightly sometimes. It's not God's fault that you don't walk uprightly. He's given us everything. He's given us the means to walk along His paths, but we must do the walking. He said, here's how you live your life. Here's how you walk as a Christian. By the way, I can tell you a few things tonight. Number one, I can tell you, you will not walk effectively. You will not walk effectively without being in this book. Okay? You will not walk effectively without being in this book. It's impossible. This book, the Bible, this is God's gift in print to you, to help you to know God. I heard someone say years and years ago, when you open the Bible, you open the mind of God. And if you want to know more about the God of heaven, the one true God, you've got to be in this book every day, every day. If you want to walk uprightly, by the way, what does it mean to walk uprightly? It means to walk in righteousness, doing right. That's not going to happen if this book is closed all the time in your life. It's got to be open. You open this book and get in it. It helps you. It helps me to walk uprightly. Okay, now, keep thinking about this. Walking. Walking uprightly. Walking uprightly in the home. The psalmist here, Psalms 84, verse 11. No good thing does he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And let's go now to Paul's epistle in the book of Ephesians. There are numerous scriptures within the book of Ephesians as we think about our walk. This is an everyday life thing that takes place, not only in literally, and you have to walk around, but in the spiritual world in which we live, or in our walk with the Lord. We refer to that over and over again. I don't mean in our spiritual world, but in the things that we are trying to do to conquer things that are our enemy, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But there, in other words, I say that in introduction earlier, we have everything that we need to do what we're about to talk about right now, okay? It's the idea, though, application, right? Application. If you know you have it, and I know I have it, now we've got to apply it. Now we've got to apply it. Let's look at several things in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. And we're going to talk about just this thought of walking. Walking. Walking in the Lord. Walking in righteousness. Walking uprightly. However you want to label it. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 10. The Bible says, and again, this some of this is familiar, some of this is repetitive, but it's all good and it's all necessary. It's the Word of God. It says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should," what's the next word? "Walk in them." Walk in them. What is in them in this verse? Do you know what "in them" is referring back to? Right, the good works. Okay, we all would agree tonight, according to God's word, we are not saved by good works. The two verses, 8 and 9, if you look just up in your Bible, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So that's salvation. Salvation is over here, but we're talking about our everyday walk. We're not talking about getting saved. We're talking about because we're saved. Paul said to the church at Ephesus, but he also says it to us tonight, that every day we should be walking in good works. Why? So that we can impress people? No, to the glory of God. Because we're saved. Why do you want to walk in good works? Why do I want to walk in good works? Because Jesus Christ changed us. Because Jesus Christ saved our soul. Because Jesus Christ washed us clean. Because Jesus Christ has given us eternal life. I mean, I can't earn it, but after I have it, I can't help but live for Him. You can't help but want to live for Him. Why? Because burning inside of you is a desire to live for God. And so we want to walk in good works. Not to get saved, because we're saved. I don't think you can separate verse 10 from 8 and 9 when it comes to the whole package. 8 and 9 is salvation, but right after 8 and 9 comes our walk. We should walk in them. I am saved to walk in good works. All right, let's flip over to chapter 4. Might be on the same page. So, number one, I am to walk in good works. I am to walk in good works. Number two, look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." So, number two is to walk worthy. Number one, walk in good works. Number two is to walk worthy. Notice the vocation wherewith ye are called. When you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says about this particular term that they were called this first at Antioch. Remember what the term was? Christians, right? So when you accept Jesus Christ, you hear that? As your Savior, that's who the true Christians are. It doesn't matter what the mainstream world says a Christian is, okay? Don't worry about that. Don't get caught up in that. There's a different definition of what a Christian is according to the mainstream world. But according to the Word of God, a Christian is someone who has identified themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection, has accepted the gift of eternal life, and has a desire to walk in Him. We don't, again, the walk part isn't added to the grace. Don't think that. What I'm saying is we carry with us a name. And it's not Ben Turner. I carry a greater name than that. It's the name Christian. That's a name. It was given to me through a very precious price. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed on the cross that we could be called Christian. It did not come lightly. It did not come free of pain. It did not come free of agony. Read the account of the crucifixion if you need to be reminded, and go to the gospel records and read about the account of the crucifixion. That's what Jesus willingly did so that we could be identified with Him, so that we could have that mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, and we have His name. I carry His name. I mean, I'm a Turner, but you know what? That doesn't matter when it comes to eternity, because not all Turners are going to go to heaven. But all Christians are going to go to heaven. It doesn't matter what language you speak or however many languages you speak. Some of you speak multiple languages. Wow, what a blessing. It doesn't matter what. None of that matters. What matters is we have a name that we were given. And here Paul says that we would walk worthy of that name. There's a way that we want to walk in the society that we live in, not so someone will look at me and say, you're somebody. So that they'll look at me, and maybe, just maybe, they can even look at me by the way we walk, and there would be something inside of them that would say, I wonder if they're a Christian. It's not about me. I'll give you an example. Last Sunday, I was over at Subway. The Subway by the office, it's walking distance. And I think it was last Sunday. It might have been two Sundays ago. And I decided I'm going to sit in here. I stole another one of Pastor Nathan's coupons. I mean, I borrowed one of his coupons. And confessing, that's where they've all gone. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to sit here today. I didn't have my coat on, but I had my shirt and tie on. And I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to enjoy, you know, in between the morning parking lot service and out there. And I didn't have a gospel track on me because we didn't have any at the time. I just sitting there eating my sub. This guy walks in the door, and we made eye contact. And without even hesitation, I just said, "How you doing today?" And you know, I try to be a little bit half glass full when I'm out in the public. And I think we all ought to be. You just never know what the Lord's going to do. And he greeted me back, and we talked a little bit while he was waiting in line. Just a little bit of small talk, nothing much. And the person that was getting their sub left, and it was just me and him. And he said, "How was church today?" Never said one thing to him about God, the Bible, nothing. I mean, obviously, Sunday suit and tie. You know, 1 + 1 can be 2. I know that. But in the day in which we live, it doesn't really mean anything because you have a shirt and tie on Sunday. You could have been at a wedding. You could have been anywhere. But you know what it did? It gave me an opportunity. Buddy, I jumped right on it. I said, it was great. It was great. And we had a service at 9:30 this morning over here in a motorcycle shop parking lot. It was the most unusual thing I've ever been a part of, but it was wonderful. And I said, we're getting ready to have a service in just a minute on live stream. It's how we've been able to do. And of course, he didn't realize what he did. He just unleashed me on him, and he had no choice but to listen to all of it. But you know what? I smiled at him when he came in, and he smiled back. That started it. I'm not lifting myself up. I'm just saying there's opportunities, and we don't have to hit people over the head with the Bible, but we can hit them over the head with a walk of kindness. And a walk that, because Jesus Christ is our Savior, you know, everything around us can be in shambles, but because Jesus is my Savior, I can walk and hold my head high, not in pride, but hold my head high in the joy of the Lord that God is good. And it's not some fake thing, because there's been many days when I've been sitting in a place and nobody's ever asked me anything about church. Why? Because it was written all over me, I guess. You know? And I'm not saying that I'm always flying around. I'm just saying that's what we need. That's the kind of walk we need. Walking worthy of the name Christian. We would conduct ourselves in that way. Look at verse 17. Same chapter. Paul says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." How are they walking? In the vanity of their mind. In the vanity of their mind. Boy, that is something that we need to watch. Number three, walk not in vanity. Number one, walk in good works. We need a revival of that. Number two, walk worthy. And remember, you're carrying the name Christian. You go to work tomorrow, you're carrying the name Christian. You go to school tomorrow, you're carrying the name Christian. You know, we get into an argument or something, and we realize, oh, I shouldn't have communicated like that. Go back and apologize. Hey, and I would even say this, tell them, you know what? I'm a Christian. Tell them, I'm a Christian, and that is not how a Christian is to act. Would you forgive me? I'm really sorry that I spoke to you that way. Could be a coworker, could be a complete stranger. Hopefully you have that chance again. Then walk not in vanity. Hold your place in 4:17 and turn over to 2 verse 2. Same book, you may be on the same page, Ephesians 2. wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, the prince of the power of the air. We believe this to be Satan and his evil forces. They are against Jesus Christ and all that desire to walk in his will. You see, Satan fell because of vanity. Satan fell because he said, I will be like the Most High. Satan fell because he wanted to ascend to the highest. It was all about him, and he was beautiful, created angel by God. But vanity got a hold of him. Vanity got a hold of him, and he fell. And so tonight, I want to challenge us as men and women of God, walk not in vanity, not to the prince and the power of the air. Turn over to chapter 5. How's your walk doing tonight? Chapter 5, verse 2. And walk, let's read 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Number 4, walk in love. In other words, I look at this and I think, let's imitate Jesus Christ. When children are young, they imitate, don't they? They copy. I missed a video call this morning from Caleb when he was getting ready, and they were getting ready to go to church. And I didn't hear the phone ring, didn't have it with me. But then I received 3 pictures of Carson within, it happened about 5 minutes later, I got pictures of Carson, and I couldn't figure out why I got the pictures. And so then I saw, oh, I missed a call. And so I called him, and they were driving to church. And he said, the reason why I called you is because Carson this morning, he was ready for church, and then he pointed at my tie. Pointed at his tie. And then Caleb said to Carson, do you want to wear a tie? He said, uh-huh. So they went over to the drawer, and they opened up a drawer, and he had a shirt on. I think it was a plaid shirt, and he doesn't have a plethora of ties at 18 months old or whatever he is, but it was a striped tie going every which way compared to the plaid shirt. But he put that tie on. He said it lasted for about 5 minutes. But he put that tie on, and I noticed. So then I went back and looked at the pictures, and in the pictures he had the tie on, and so that's what he was trying to show me. The point is this: that Carson is young. He'll be 2 in December. And yet he went over to his dad and said, I want to do like you, Dad. He didn't know how to say that, but he just pointed. He's an imitator. Right? And I mean, that's a high holy calling for a dad and a mom and anybody that influences the next generation. All of us have people watching us. That's what I'm saying. Whether it's a little guy or a big guy, people are watching us. We need to be imitators of Jesus Christ. How did he conduct himself? It tells us right here. As Christ also hath loved us. Again, that's how we need to conduct ourselves in this day in which we live. May we be walking in love. Look down at verse number 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Really, some of these kind of merge together, but I went ahead and wrote this down. Walk as a Christian. Walk as a Christian. We're in light. Remember, God has put us and God has given us everything that we need to walk the right way. But we have to make the choice. Notice what it says there? I like what it says. But now are ye in the light. And then notice he says, walk. What is the understood subject of that statement? You. He says, walk as children of light. The understood subject, it's not there, but it's there, as our grammar teachers taught us. You walk as children of light. Who's the you? The church at Ephesus. Who's the you? Anchor Baptist Church in Coquitlam now. We just changed cities. And Anchor Baptist Church, we are the you. as a believer of Jesus Christ. You are the you. I don't know if that makes sense to say it that way, but it's the understood. Now do it. You're in the light. You're not in darkness. Think about it. When you got saved, the minute you got saved, some of you have only been saved for a couple of weeks. Some of you have been saved for 30 years. The minute that you got saved, you went from darkness to light. And God put us there, and God put you there. And Jesus Christ enabled us to be there. And so God says, Paul says, you walk as children of light. Walk as a Christian. Talk as a Christian. And then one more. I wrote this down. Wait, one more. I wrote this down in my margin here. My actions should reflect my faith. My actions should reflect my faith. Look at chapter 5. Let's look at one more. My actions should reflect my faith. Chapter 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. This morning we looked at the foolish rich man parable. If you weren't able to watch this morning, I would encourage you. It's the beginning of the live stream, and we'll have it divided up eventually. But we talked about this man who was the man who was going to tear down his barns and build bigger ones because he had so much stuff. And, Jesus said, you're a fool. Because he said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then what shall those things be? You have all of that you have, but your soul will be required of you tonight. And I was just reminded of that as we read that. Not as fools. This last one, I wrote down, walk with a plan. Walk with a plan. The word circumspectly means exactly. It means accurately. It means diligently. Do you know this? That even though you're saved and on your way to heaven, I'm assuming everyone is saved. If you're not saved, well, praise the Lord, I can tell you when this meeting's over, I can tell you how to be saved according to the Word of God. And I would encourage you, if you're not saved tonight, you don't know you're on your way to heaven, stop me before you leave and say, Pastor Turner, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I've never been saved. And we can show you some things from the Bible for you to consider. But it doesn't matter if you're saved. The devil doesn't stop. The devil doesn't stop getting you or me to walk in certain ways. Let me say it this way. He still has a plan for you and me to follow. This is why we must walk with our plan from God's Word. We must walk circumspectly. Let me give you those words again. What does this big word mean? It means exactly. Again, a plan. It means accurately. It means diligently. In other words, if you have no plan right now of how you're going to live the Christian life, I'm going to warn you, the devil has a plan to destroy your Christian life. I didn't say destroy your salvation, but destroy your testimony, destroy your walk, and destroy your influence. Do you know that is one thing that we have as Christians that we need to guard? And you know what it is? Influence. We have influence. I didn't say affluence, I said influence, okay? A big difference, all right? Influence, meaning we have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us. And as we go out into this world, and as we go to school, and as we go to work, and as we go here and there and everywhere, we have influence. It's not that we're walking around with our nose in the air, but we're walking around confidently. Why? Because Jesus Christ is my Savior. God is my Heavenly Father. Heaven is my eternal home. And God has made all the difference in my life. He can make it in your life too. That's the way we want to go about. Now, we're not going out telling everybody that all the time, but our walk ought to be like that. In other words, walking circumspectly means we get this book out every day. We got a plan in place. I've got to be in the Word every day. I know I've said it, but I'm going to say it multiple times every Sunday. We've got to be in, that's got to be part of the plan. You've got to walk with a plan. Memorize this book. Memorize this book. Hide God's Word in your heart. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy Word, Psalm 119, 105. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a a light into my path. Walk with a plan. Otherwise, the devil has one ready for you. And if you and I are not willing to walk in God's plan, he's going to offer you all kinds of backups. And by the way, his plans don't lead to anything joyful. His plans lead to misery. His plans lead to frustration and discouragement and defeat. And you know what? Everyone here, we have, in a sense, in one, and I'm not saying completely given over, I'm not saying that, but we have followed the wrong plans before. And we know it doesn't end well. That's why I'm thankful for God's mercy, aren't you? His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. But our walk has to be with a plan. I hope these verses from the book of Psalm and then in Ephesians will help us as we seek to move ahead. That's what it means to walk. Progress. Move ahead. I don't want to be the same Christian I am now next week. I want to walk ahead. I want to walk ahead. That's only going to happen as we utilize the tools God has given us to walk